blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 66, stanzas 1 and 2. Ever are my longing eyes toward the Lord, whose watchful care, when my foes their plots devise, keeps my feet from every snare. 1 and 2 of Psalter 66. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, and the first 28 verses. Exodus 12, and verses 1 through 28. But first, we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, and thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Exodus chapter 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs, and they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, and with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation. And in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning those that mourn, and also Mr. and Mrs. Garrett van Hagenbos, who have received a well-born baby girl in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal, all-knowing Lord of the heaven, of the earth, Thou knowest all that is taken place in the week that is gone by. One, born into this world, and others, they have stood around an open grave when a life that has come to its end. Lord, remember this newborn child and that is born into this sinful and evil world with a sinful and an evil heart, that Thou may take it for Thy own account, and that Thou may cause it to be a monument, a memorial of Thy long-suffering and of Thy gracious mercies that Thou dost bestow upon Thy church, a child born to be born again, and that Thou may look upon the mother, do give strength once again for the body, and a humble heart unto these parents, for whom that Thou hast made all things well, when for others there have been so many difficulties. Lord, that Thou may remember and help parents to bring up our children in the fear of Thy name, and that they may be born in the midst of our congregation also, for the upbuilding of Thy church, and for the spreading of Thy word. Lord, that Thou may remember also those who have stood beside an open grave, the children who have stood by the graveside of their own father. Oh, that Thou may remember them in Thy mercy, and all those who mourn with them. Oh, that Thou may supply out of heaven Thy dwelling place. There are so, so many miseries that are in this world, that we have brought into this world on account of our own sin. Oh, then to realize, as those who are yet alive, that we have to die, and that between the cradle and the grave, something has to take place in our life. Oh, that it may be bound then upon our hearts in this Thy holy day, that we may have come up in this morning as saying, Lord, convert me. Oh, prepare me also for that day, and that I have to stand at Thy great judgment seat, that there may be place for Thee in Thy word in this morning. And when there is none, Lord, then from whom can it come? Oh, Thou canst speak one word. And when it is our intention in this morning to close our eyes in rebellion, and when it is in our intention in this morning to go to sleep, and when it is our intention in this morning not to listen to a single word, O Lord, thy arm that is not short and that it cannot save, and thine ear that is not heavy that it cannot hear. Oh, that thou may work, and that thou may arrest, and that thou may bring to a standstill, that thou may make room when there is no room, and that thou may convert us with all our children for the first time or by renewal. But when it is our desire in this morning, and when we have come up with a cry in our heart, oh, even if it is but in a natural way, when it has been taught to us from the days of our youth, and when our mother has taught us to pray, oh Lord, when it is so in this morning, oh, could it please thee to bless and to sanctify the means in the hearts of such ones, and that thou may give, that thy spirit may not be withheld, but as we beseech it of thee in these moments, that thou may hear it from heaven, thy dwelling place, and that thou may speak, and that thy spirit may be sent to fly from his place unto this, that it may take up his abode in the heart of this one or of that one. Oh, leave not one of us behind on that journey to that great eternity. Lord, this is thy work. Oh, we do use this morning the means to preach and to listen. We do use in this morning the means when we gather about thy word. It is thy own institution. Though it is but the foolishness of preaching, Lord, could it please thee to remember us with all our dear children and to stop us on our mad career, to turn us from all iniquity, to draw our hearts, and then we shall indeed run after thee and look on all thy church. For thou knowest their place also, the burdens that live within, all the riddles of the heart, and all the discouragements, when they cannot piece two things together anymore. Oh, that thou may look on them, and could it please thee to feed thy church? For when thou makest them alive, then they need also to eat and to drink, that that life may be given strength and nourishment. Oh, we beseech it of thee then in this morning hour. Come, oh, come, Lord, even though we have sinned against thee, come, though we have not thought of thee all week, oh, come, though we have not bent our knees in this morning, though we have not besought thee rightly, oh, come, though that we have not wrestled with thee, though the kingdom of heaven has not suffered violence on our behalf. Oh, come, come as the first one, come as the Alpha, oh, come as the beginning one, come as the all-powerful one, and show thyself, oh, show thyself to our young people, to our children, show them that thou art God. Oh, show them thy mighty hand and all thy power, that they may not have only to hear it from us, but that they may experience it in their life, that they may be given to see it in the life of others, when thou wilt stop us on our way, and when thou wilt turn us from our sin. Oh, that it may not be that which is read in the books alone, but that it may be the experience here in our midst. Oh, do it, Lord, will it not be? Oh, to the great glory of thy name. Oh, take reasons then out of thyself. Look on all those that are needy. Supply for all that are in distress, for all widows, widowers, and orphans indeed. And wilt thou give to those who are hungry and thirsty food and drink, to those that need clothing, that need shelter. Oh, supply for all that have no love and that have no care in this world. Oh, supply under all the consequences of our sin And wilt thou use all the means and the callings for true conversions over the length and the breadth of the whole world. Go thou with us, we beseech thee in this morning. O stand thou on our right and on our left, and that we may receive truly thy Spirit, the unction thereof, and that we may not speak one word, Lord, on our own behalf. Take away all that is of us. Give a word from thee in its place, and may it be for the true welfare of our souls, for thy glory. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 12, stanzas 1 through 4. Lord, rebuke me not in anger. Chastened sore I waste away. Pity my distress and hear me, Lord. How long wilt thou delay? The last collection today is for the disaster fund. Any that have not contacted me yet and still desire to join the Confession of Faith class tomorrow evening with us, please do so as soon as possible. Psalter number 12, 1 through 4.
Thank you.
And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Where is, congregation, the beginning of life for the true church of God? And that is in the day, that is in the moment of true regeneration, in the new birth. Before that, there is no life. Before this, our life here in this world is nothing but a continual death. And in this chapter, we read how that the Lord, He institutes the Passover. And what does He say of it? This day shall be unto you for a memorial. A memorial of their deliverance. To be a remembrance. That is something that the Lord says should never be forgotten. Is there anything in the life of God's people, and that ought to be to them so precious as the day of their deliverance? They must teach it to their children. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye become to the land which the Lord will give you, according as He hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That thou shalt say, It is the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when He smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Thus, a memorial to remember, to be taught to their children, and not only concerning the deliverance itself, but also the basis of that deliverance. And this we wish to consider together out of the words of our text, which you can find in Exodus chapter 12, in the 8th verse. Exodus 12, verse 8. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. So far, the words of our text. And our text speaks about the Passover meal. Three things to be in that Passover meal. First, bitter herbs. Second, roasted lamb. And third, unleavened bread. The Passover meal, first, bitter herbs. Second, roasted lamb. And third, unleavened bread. And with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Children, bitter herbs. Maybe you have had some time or so some bitter herbs. Not everything may be that your mother does place on your plate is something that you have so much desire to eat. Some is sweet, but some things can be so very, very bitter. So bitter that if your mother did not put in something with it, then you might want to spit it right out again, because it is loathsome to you, because it is so bitter. And now the Lord Jesus, He has prescribed the meal. Exactly what the children of Israel were supposed to eat. And in that meal had to be included bitter herbs. Why? Because that was so healthy for the children of Israel? No, not for their health in an outward sense at all. But it had great meaning. Those bitter herbs, they have a very great significance. And with bitter herbs shall they eat it. It appears to us to be an addition, perhaps, to the meal, along with the lamb. But actually, it is not so. It is different, because in the original language, and then it says it slightly differently, but very importantly, not only with bitter herbs, but upon bitter herbs, or over bitter herbs shall ye eat of it. Thus it is, and that lamb that was to be eaten upon, on top of, over these bitter herbs, that those herbs were actually to be for that meal as a kind of a basis, that lamb was not to be eaten without them. There was a very great contrast in the taste of these herbs and of that roasted lamb. And it is over against the bitterness of those herbs that the sweetness of that lamb may be tasted and that it may be enjoyed. Now, this was a meal not as our common meals, but it was a meal of great significance, and it is a meal that was for a memorial, and a meal that had an inward and a spiritual meaning. Thus, what is now the meaning of these bitter herbs? By those herbs, the children of Israel, they are called to remember the bitterness of the bondage wherein they were in that land of Egypt. And that meal being established by the Lord for an everlasting memorial, that the Lord says, as it were, that they were never to forget the great bitterness of that bondage from which that He has delivered them. And then especially in the context of the partaking of that Passover. Thus, what they have been delivered from. The children of Israel did forget, did they not, boys and girls? Do you not remember later on when they are complaining and they are in the wilderness and then they say, do you not remember the leeks and the cucumbers and the onions? Oh, do you not remember how good that we had it in the land of Egypt? Wait a moment, the Lord says. Wait a moment. Is that now so true that you had it so good in that old life? Were you not in a land of bondage? Therefore, He says, with bitter herbs thou shalt eat it. The Passover lamb that is representing their deliverance. But what is now the significance of that Passover lamb when they shall not know from what that they have been delivered? What savor is in that Passover lamb when they will not know the misery out of which that they have come? than the Passover lamb that is going to lose all of its sweetness. But now in the remembrance of that bitter state in which they were in that land of Egypt, then the contemplation of their deliverance that shall be so very, very sweet. What is now that New Testament sacrament that has come to replace the Passover meal that is the Lord's Supper? And then we are called to consider several things. We have just heard it in the examination concerning the Lord's Supper. And what is the very first one? The very first thing to be considered in that supper is our sins and the curse that is due unto us for them. Thus it is no different today than it was then, because that Passover lamb that had to be eaten upon or over these bitter herbs, there are two things that always go together. There are two things that we are not able to separate from one another. And what are they? They are sin and grace. Do you listen for that, young people? Do you listen for that when you hear other things in this world? That these two things are never separated from one another, sin and grace. We can never speak about deliverance when we have not spoken about misery. Why? Because it is the basis. How can we speak about deliverance when we do not know from what that we need to be delivered? It is a deliverance that is spoken upon these bitter herbs. That is, as it were, the foundation. No, there is indeed a foundation that is objective. There is indeed a foundation that is on the outside of us that is never to be denied. There is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now we speak of something else. Now we speak of another foundation. Now we speak of a different kind of foundation. That is the foundation in the experience of grace itself. And the foundation for the knowledge of deliverance has to lie in the knowledge of our misery. It is impossible to know the blessedness of being drawn, of being lifted out of the pit, when we do not know what it means to be in the pit. When we have never been in that pit, then we can speak about a deliverer. But it loses all its savor. It loses all its preciousness. And then it also will be heard. Oh, can you not hear that also, young people? How shall we make you to be discerning? Oh, if the Lord will convert you, then you will be discerning. Yes, but we can also be discerning in our mind, that we can listen and we can know what is the truth and what is not the truth. And can we hear when deliverance and a deliverer is spoken of, but it lacks all savor? Can we hear when that deliverance is spoken of, but it comes not out of the experience of that deliverance itself? Oh, that sweetness of the Lord Jesus Christ that is now experienced by those who experience the bitterness of sin and by no one else. Because else it is only in our mind. But with bitter herbs they shall eat it. A perpetual ordinance. Thus, in a little way of application in our first point, we spoke about bondage. We spoke about the burden of sin. And we have asked you if sin has that ever now become a burden. We have asked if it has become more than a burden, if it has become ever for you a bondage from which you are not able to deliver yourself. Or we ask you now, because it is the Word of God, has it ever become to you bitter? Bitter. What do we say, children, when it is bitter? What do you want to do? You want to spit it out. It is repulsive to you. Has sin ever become so to you? Has it become bitter? Oh, by nature it is not bitter, is it? No, by nature sin is sweet. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel that? Is there not something to you that gravitates towards sin? Is there not everything in you that loves sin? The pleasure of sin? Is there not a drawing of your heart to walk after every evil way? Is that not the way it is? And thus we may now ask, was there ever a new birth? Was there ever a new life that has begun in your soul? No, not that sweetness of sin will disappear. It does not disappear. But something comes alongside of it, that is the bitterness. Why? Because of the consequences of sin. So many bitter consequences. Have we not stood there in the day of yesterday? Oh, do you not see children then, little children standing at the grave of their own father? Oh, are these not the bitter, bitter consequences of our sin? And they are experienced by us, and they are experienced by the whole world. But congregation, not only the consequences. Or was there ever in your heart that sin itself has become to you bitter? Bitter because you have come to love that God against whom you have sinned. Then it cannot be anything else but bitter, that you loathe it. Oh, and that you would be rid of it. And that it would be completely divorced from your whole life. Did it ever become bitter because it grieves the Lord? Do you know what it says in God's Word? It says, it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth. Did sin ever become bitter, that you had to say it repented the Lord that He has made me on the earth His creature, and now the Lord, He has as it were to grieve because of me? Oh, did it ever become bitter? Bitter because it is so entrenched in your heart. Bitter because you are not able to remove it. Because it is as a fountain of corruption. Because your heart that is so inclined unto it. And because you have been created in God's image. Then we may see something of how bitter and how evil that sin is itself. Bitter because the Lord has not brought me in this place, but because I have brought myself here against thee. Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Oh, bitter, bitter, because it separates me from that God whom I desire. Oh, could I come back to Him again? Oh, could I have communion with Him? Oh, may I receive the favor of God in my life. But now that sin that is coming in between. What does Solomon say? The heart, every heart that knows its own bitterness. That is true in this world. That is true. We see it over and over. But congregation, do we also know this bitterness? Every heart knows its own bitterness. Do we also know the bitterness of sin itself? It is necessary to know. If we will ever taste something of that blessed sweetness. Because Solomon, he does not stop there. He does not only say that every soul, that every heart, that every person, that they know their own bitterness. But he also says this. He says, a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. With his joy. Thus there is another side that we wish to consider in our second thought. Roasted lamb. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire. They shall eat it. Who is that? That is the children of Israel. For them only. That was not for any other people, for any other nation. Yes, they may join themselves. But then they had to be circumcised. If they would be circumcised and they would join with the children of Israel, then they may eat of that Passover. And that Passover was instituted for the children of Israel when the Lord has made the children of Israel into a nation. So that was not as before. Before God's people, they were individuals. It was the particular form of the administration of His covenant. Then it went further, broader, to the patriarchal form. That is, God's people, they were the families, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then that administration has widened again. And the Lord, He has included the entire nation of the children of Israel to be His own people. And now, when the Lord did so, He made them into a type. He made them into a picture of the true church of God from the beginning unto the end of the world. As they are traveling, as they are delivered out of the land of bondage, out of the land of Egypt, as they are regenerated, as they are born again, and as they are traveling through the wilderness of this life unto that promised land, that land of Canaan. Thus, the children of Israel, when they are instituted as a nation, they become a picture of the true church of God, a type of them. That is a picture of those congregations that are not delivered and that need to be delivered. We must remember where they are in this moment. Where are they? They are still in bondage. Thus, they are not yet delivered. And the Lord institutes in this time the Passover with all its very, very significant details. And the Lord speaks in that Passover of His own promise concerning what He is going to do, that He is going to deliver them from that hand of that enemy. Do the children of Israel all understand so very well what is going to happen? We know it, right, children? We know, because we can read further. But did they know? They did not know. It was for them future. Thus, this was very important. This was very, very significant for them, this meal, this Passover meal. Because they received this word of God by faith. What do we read? The children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Thus, they obeyed. And that obedience, that is a testimony of their faith. That obedience is a testimony that they believed what Moses spoke and what the Lord was going to do. Thus, obedience, that is a fruit of faith. But now we have what is outward, and we have also the picture. We have that which is inward. And there is among them, not everyone, because they are not all Israel which are of Israel, but there is among them a true church of God. There is a church that is looking for more than a deliverance out of the natural, of the outward Egypt. There is a church that is grieved, that is burdened with sin, and for whom that has become bitter, not just outwardly in Israel, but there is a true church of God that lives by faith. Thus, that meal was in a very special way for that church, so very, very important, because it meant more for them than just a mere outward deliverance. But they are so ignorant. They do not know it is future. And so we see what is living in the heart of God's people, step by step, how that the Lord is instructing His church, one thing and then another, some more, some less. But what do we read in God's Word? By their fruits ye shall know them. Thus, though they do not know everything, though so many things are so hidden to them, there is something that marks their life. And what is it that marks the life of the people? Obedience. Obedience. There is a desire to obey. Israel is commanded to take every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Thus, that lamb. Those bitter herbs, we heard what that picture was. That was a picture of that bondage and the bitterness of that bondage. And now we see that second part in that meal, that is the lamb. That lamb, we know, our children know, that is a picture of what? That is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a precious picture. And there is really so much in this that we could go from step to step concerning how that lamb is a picture of Christ in so many precious ways, but we have not time to do everything. But we see this lamb in its innocence, in its harmlessness, in its meekness, humility, patience, or we see in its usefulness for clothing, in its usefulness for strength, for meat. There are so many ways in which that lamb that is chosen by the Lord to represent His only begotten Son. And we read in a special way here that it is to be a male of the first year. Thus he is to be in the vigor, he is to be in the strength of his life. Because that is now a lamb which will be made into savory meat. Remember who asked for that, children? Savory meat. That was Isaac, right? Make it into savory meat which I love. And now that meat was eaten by Isaac. And when Isaac may eat that meat and he may taste that meat and he may enjoy the sweetness of that meat, then in his heart there is, as it were, a revival of the desire that he may bless his son. That he may bless his son. And so that lamb, he has to be a lamb, a male of the first year. That he may be in the strength and in the vigor of his life, a blessed picture of him who will be made savory meat unto his father. That the father, as it were, may eat of that meat, and that his soul may bless his people. Or a male of that first year, a male that is without blemish, wherein there is no imperfection. Why? Because, congregation, it is the requirement of the law. No imperfection. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. One sin, one transgression, and there is punishment. There has to be absolute perfection. There can be absolutely no blemish. Oh, do you ever see, may you ever see, the blessedness of that Lamb of God who says, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" Ever see him as precious? Over against. Something else that is over against myself, wherein there is no perfection, no, wherein there is nothing but sin, wherein there is nothing but a fountain of pollution and iniquity. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The Lamb. Oh, that Lamb. That was to be a substitute. It was to be a substitute for whom? Children, you can understand it. So I hope that today when you go home and you are sitting by the table, that you now can answer a few questions, because this is easy. And that lamb, he is now a substitute. You have a substitute in school sometimes? What do? They take the place of the teacher just for the day. Then the teacher comes back if all is well. Then we have just a substitute. And now that lamb, he is to be a substitute. Why? Because the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming in the night. The Lord is coming with a sword. Why? Because of justice. And now the Lord says, that lamb, when you will now roast that lamb, I will not slay you. He will go in your place. There is no lamb for the Egyptians. No lamb for them. No, they must die. But for you, you must now take a lamb that he may be in your place. Congregation, what if they had rejected it? And the children of Israel had said no. No. We have no desire. We don't see any need of that land. How is it? How is it? In this day, do you see a need for that lamb? A substitute. Where was the difference? For Egypt, no lamb. For Israel, a lamb. Where was the difference? Were they such a good people? Were they such a good people? Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, and from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue. Against man or beast, that ye may know that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. Last week, then we have tried to bring that across out of the Word of God. There is, congregation, not one of us that will ever be able to blame the Lord when we will go lost. Never. Shall not happen. Now we see the other side. There is not a single man that shall ever boast, that shall ever boast when he is delivered by the Lord himself. Because the Lord says that you shall know that it is I myself, that it is not you, but that it is I myself that does put a difference between the Egyptians and the children of Israel. What is now the basis of that? Or the Lord says you must take a lamb. Or it is lying, congregation, in that lamb. Is that not a wonder that that lamb is preached unto us? And is that not the epitome of sin, that we have no need for him? Or they must keep it up. They must take it out of the flock. Shall he not be taken out of the flock? Shall he not be one of the people? And they must keep that lamb for 4 days. They must separate that lamb. Thus, they must have it ready. There is preparation. Or is that not preparation that the Father himself has made concerning that only begotten Son of God? And they must be certain. They must be sure that everything is ready against that day, that that lamb has all the necessary requirements. Is that not the work that the Father has done? Oh, to be sure that that Lamb of God had all the necessary requirements, that he could stand and be the substitute for his people in that great day of his wrath. And then, when that lamb is separated there, and that lamb is all by itself, and then the children of Israel, they may look at that lamb. Together with their family, they may come, and they may look at that lamb, and they may speak about it together. They are not yet delivered. And then they may speak about the hope that the Lord may give to them, that they may be delivered in the great day of that wrath of God. There is so much. They must kill it in the evening, it says, between the two evenings. Oh, it is a beautiful type. That is, as we can read it in God's word, between that time that the sun that begins to go down and this time that it is finally set. So we can read it, congregation. We live afterwards, and then it is so sure when we may see how that is fulfilled in the time. And that time even that the Lord Jesus Christ was put to death on the cross as the anti-type of that blessed Passover lamb. All that blood that has to be taken. All that is another whole sermon. We hope, if all is well, to speak more of that. But they must take that blood and they must strike it upon the houses wherein they are. Because when that blood that will stay by that lamb where that lamb is slain, and it is never applied to those houses, it is without effect. Without effect. But it needs on every home to be placed in order that it may protect those firstborn. Roast with fire. Not a bone of it to be broken, because that substitute, he is going to come in the fire of that wrath of God. All congregation, every part. Every part. This is not something that has been given by man, but that is something that is so rich. That is so rich in comfort and strength for that true children of God. And after that lamb has been separated, and after that lamb has been prepared, then that lamb is to be eaten. It is to be eaten for strength and for nourishment for that journey that is coming. That is coming in this night that is before them. And then that sweetness of that meat. All that sweetness of that lamb may be tasted over against those bitter herbs. It was the first time in all those 400 years that they may so taste the sweetness of that lamb. You say, did not they have lamb before? Oh, certainly they have eaten lamb before. But not this lamb. They have not eaten of this lamb before. Because this lamb was a type. And this lamb spoke to them something that every lamb they had eaten had never spoken to them about before. This lamb had to be eaten upon those bitter herbs. Oh, may there not then have been congregation, a church among that people, who may taste of that lamb, and for whom the sweetness of that lamb that came over and above all of the bitterness of those herbs, so as it were that they were not able to taste the bitterness of the herbs for the sweetness of that lamb? Was that church any different at that day than it is today? That the apostle may say what the experience of that church is, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Were there not a people in that day that may so taste of it? And are there not yet a people in this day that may so taste of it? And what does this then, or what ought this then to bring in our life? Let us sing. Psalter 174, Stanzas 1 and 2. All ye peoples, bless our God, aloud proclaim his praise, who safely holds our soul in life and steadfast makes our ways. 1 and 2 of 174. There is, congregation, one more part to that Passover meal. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. Why unleavened bread? Because the children of Israel would have to go out in haste. Then there would be insufficient time to wait for that bread to rise. Thus, the children of Israel had in that night to be completely ready to go. There were other things that we read here which show how that they had to be ready. They had to eat it with their loins girded, with their shoes on their feet and their staff in their hand, and they had to eat it very quickly. We do not eat so, children, with shoes on our feet and our staff in our hand. In other words, we do not eat when we are ready to rush out of the house. No, we are sitting down and we are relaxing and we are waiting. We are eating. That was not so how they had to eat their Passover. Why? Because in that night, there was going to be such a confusion and such a despair on the side of the Egyptians that they were going to thrust the children of Israel out of that land. And was in that moment that the children of Israel had to be completely ready to go and dressed and prepared to leave that land of Egypt. This would be their last meal in that land of Egypt, and that meal by which they are going to be strengthened to go forward on that journey out of Egypt unto that land of Canaan. Leaven, that is what is used to make bread rise. And how does that work? That works by causing a fermentation. Leaven is a natural symbol. It is a natural symbol of moral corruption and impurity. That's not just something that is corrupt or impure, but moral corruption. That is moral having to do with things that are right or wrong. So leaven, that is a symbol, that is a sign of moral corruption. Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he admonished the Corinthians. Why? He said, because among you there are those who commit wicked things, those that commit adultery. So bad that we would not want to name what you do among the Gentiles. And then he admonishes them because they were not disciplined, because they did not take those people out from among them. Because they did not deliver such a one, we read, unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. And then what does the Apostle Paul say? He says, know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Thus, he says, you don't need much. All you need is a little leaven, and all the bread is leavened. Maybe you know that, boys and girls. When your mother will put leaven in, then it's just a little bit. And what does the Apostle Paul say when there is just the beginnings? The beginnings of sin. How is that, fathers? You are at home. You have all your children. One speaks disrespectful to you. What do? You leave that be? When you will leave that be, what will soon happen in your household? Then the next one will begin, and the next one will begin, and they will speak in the same way. No, the Lord says, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, and therefore that little leaven, that little bit of moral corruption that we detect in our children, that we detect in our congregation, that must be put out from among you. Thus, leaven was not to be permitted, we read, in any of the meat offerings. No meat offering which ye shall bring unto the Lord shall be made with leaven, for ye shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. Paul says, purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. Now, what is the New Testament sacrament? The New Testament sacrament that is the Holy Supper, coming in the place of the Passover. So you have seen it, children. Where were the bitter herbs? Were there bitter herbs on the table? No, there were no bitter herbs. And where was the lamb? There was no lamb. And where was the unleavened bread? No, there was no unleavened bread either. Thus, the symbols in the Passover and in the Lord's Supper, they are not the same. But the substance of those symbols is exactly the same. We have spoken first of those herbs. And what is the meaning? What are we commanded to do in that examination? That is to consider our sins and the curse due unto us for them. Thus, that is immediately evident also in that new sacrament. No, there is no lamb, but the significance of that lamb is not lost, but it is openly displayed. What does Paul say? For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. In the Lord's Supper, there is also no unleavened bread, but the significance of this is retained. Paul says this, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Sincerity and truth, uprightness with God, uprightness with myself, and uprightness with my fellow man, to speak with him honestly and openly, that discipline may be in the church, in the community, and that the old leaven is purged. What is that? That is now to put away that life of sin. That is the life of gratitude for the true church of God. That is the life of sanctification that the Lord is requiring from everyone whom he has delivered from the land of Egypt. What did he give them when he brought them out of the land? What did he give them? Children? What did he give them? His law. His law. And we have read it. It was not a law given to the nations, no. That was a law given to God's people. Thus the Lord says, is that now too much of me to ask of you? When I have delivered you, what know ye not, that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and you are not your own, for ye are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Congregation, we have to close. It is the institution of the Passover meal. Bitter herbs, roasted lamb, unleavened bread. What is it? It is the experience of the true church of God. Misery, deliverance, and gratitude. Is that also your experience? There can be not one of those parts that is missing. Now, what did Isaiah say about that mediator? He said there is no form and comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty in him, and that we should desire him. That is now that lamb. Is that not so true? Is that not so true by nature? Is it any different? Oh, do we see any beauty in that Lamb of God? But what was the testimony of the bride? All the daughters of Jerusalem, they said to her, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? Did she see in him beauty? Oh, she says, I cannot tell you. The words, they are not there to express the beauty of that bridegroom. He is white and ruddy. He is the chiefest among 10,000. He is altogether lovely. Is that not a great difference? Is that not a great difference? Between how a man is by nature concerning his view of the blessed Son of God, that lamb, and how it is in the true church of God. Oh, what a change.
change?
Do you know such a change? Do you know such a change of the estimation of the Lord Jesus Christ? Moses was despised by Israel at first. Though they were in bondage, had to be another 40 years. Had to be another 40 years before there was place in the heart of the children of Israel, before the bitterness of that bondage was sufficient, that there was a place for that deliverer. And now the children of Israel, they may receive the type in that Passover lamb after 430 years in that land of bondage. It was after 4,000 years in our miserable state that finally the servant of the Lord, he may point and he may say, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." After 4,000 years, the Lord, he is going to make his Son to be precious in the eyes of the people. And that people, they are going to eat that lamb over their bitter herbs. Over their bitter herbs. It is going to be with a smiting upon the breast and a crying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner," that people are going to go down onto their house justified. There's a man, we read it in the Bible, he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. But what did he eat? Oh, he ate the fatted calf. Sin. Oh, sin, congregation, that is a bitter thing. And sin is going to be experienced to be bitter by every one of us, now or later. But that Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, that is so sweet. And that is a sweetness that is so much greater than those bitter herbs, that all the bitterness that is taken away for that people. And that is even by moments in the revelation, when that people may have a hope, they may receive a hope already in this life. And when we may receive this hope, we shall never be put to shame. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest the heart of each one of us. We cannot miss this, O Lord. Oh, bring it now in our hearts. We suffer the consequences of our sin. Make it also to be bitter in itself, that we may hate it, that we may flee it, that we may desire to be purged of it, that we may desire to be forgiven. And oh, that that precious Lamb of God may become precious, may become suitable to each and every one of us. Bring us safely home. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 419, 2 and 3, a mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day. But thou, O God, in great compassion, and will purge my guilt away. 2 and 3 of 419.
Oh,
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.